and welcome back again to Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Eric on, Reiner.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
And
Santa
Kathleen.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Wow, he's really high on life today.
Oh yeah, Eric. Let's dance.
Is that what it is?
Well, maybe high on Rice Krispies.
Come on, Trisha, sing it too.
Wow. What?
We've got a guest, but we're going to have a quick dance break here. Santa Claus is coming to town.
I'll do the description. Joseph is on the table dancing. There goes his vest. There goes his hat. There goes one shoe. Two shoes.
Oh, rummy tum tum.
If I kill the music, he can't do that anymore.
Oh, yeah, nicely said, actually.
Come on.
We like it.
Trisha, okay, we're going to sing some more later.
I have arrived to bring some sanity back into the show.
Okay.
I do have to tell you, though, I thought that perhaps I had gone insane.
Yeah?
Because I was rushing to get
that,
here.
Determined.
Because I absolutely loved the movie Christmas Eve.
Yes.
I loved it. I wanted to be here for that interview.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the next thing you know, all these police and cops are around telling me I can't get to the station, and thousands of them, with the image of...
You mean in New Jersey?
No.
You don't hear the parade going on outside?
With the image of Guadalupe.
Yes, I know, it is.
In sparkles and... Technicolor, and Guadalupe is everywhere, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I fell into the movie because
Guadalupe
all these people with cumpleaños feliz Guadalupe.
Yes
we've gone mad here.
But you know what else? So I know you are disappointed you missed that segment.
I am, but I heard it, of course, but I wanted to participate. Yes,
but I think you'll be just as happy with this one. I know you haven't seen this movie, but I did see it. I loved it. Walt before Mickey.
Mm.
Now, when I'm talking about that, that means Walt Disney before Mickey Mouse.
I know that.
Yes, and right now we have on director, is it Kuale? Is that how I pronounce your name?
How you doing? Yes, this is Kuale.
Kuale, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Director of Walt before Mickey. Now, this is now on DVD. I think it came out today, right?
Yes, it's on the DVD, and it's on iTunes and everything else, and definitely... catch it if you can.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, I wanted to check it out when it was in theaters. I had reached out to some publicists at the time, and I didn't hear back from them. Otherwise, we would have been covering this a couple months ago when it was in theaters. But now it's on DVD, and there's no excuse. You have to check out this movie. It is, I didn't know this story. Of course, it's based on a book, but now it's made into a movie, and, I mean, wonderful actors. John Heder, who was in Christmas Eve, of course, is in this as Roy Disney, and Jodie Sweetin from Full House. She's in the film as well. Tell us some of the other cast members.
We have Thomas Ioannidis that plays Walt Disney himself. Mm-hmm. He was in the American Pie, Rookie of the Year. really talented guy. We had David Henry from Wizards and Waverly.
And from How I Met Your Mother as well.
Yep, exactly. We have a really talented cast.
Yeah. And it is a great movie as well. Go ahead, Trisha. Did you have to say something?
Well, I was just going to say Walt Disney is such a great American and now worldwide icon and legend. Mm-hmm. But I've read the book.
Oh, you have?
So I am curious the challenges that you had to be able to pick and choose what out of that, because you had to condense it down for a movie. How did you face that challenge?
Well, it's the first is it was like about a 600-page book, and we only had 17 days to actually shoot this movie.
Wow.
And I was brought on, I got hired as director maybe 3 weeks before production. They had a previous director before that, and he kind of had to step down. And so you could imagine what kind of challenges we really went through, not just on trying to tell a story, but just trying to get the production going. And but, you know, I mean, fortunately, we were able to get it going and with a pretty dedicated crew and cast that made it all happen. So, there were two versions of the script. And when I came on board, the the both of them were not ready to be shot yet. Oh. And so we collaborated with the producers like Amando and Arthur. And we also had our other co-writer, which is Frank Licari. And we just did our best, and you know, it was as if this is our deadline, and we just had to make it happen. And so we looked at the most doable scenes that we could do, and try to be as creative as possible. And you know, when you're working with a lower budget and a lot of limitations to your shoot days. Somehow, something in your brain kind of gets activated, and you just end up doing it. You know?
I mean, that's creativity, and I mean that fuels you. And then, of course, you're dealing with Walt Disney. I mean, that's no just like child's play there. That you're dealing with
Absolutely.
An icon. I mean, so did you feel a sense of what's the word I'm looking for?
Like pressure?
A responsibility?
Trepidation or pressure? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was asked to do a Walt. You know, a movie about Walt Disney. I thought at first it was the Disney movie itself, and it wasn't. It was an independent film about Walt Disney. And so, and this is my first directorial debut. That it was, I thought it was a great opportunity, and I thought it was, what is there to lose, really, right? And so. Besides hurting the name of Walt Disney, I think it really boils down to what we wanted to do for this movie for viewers to see and what we hope for. And so you watch this movie. This movie is about he had struggled and failed many times, and for him to be able to still pick himself up to kind of. People are should be able to relate to the struggles. Hopefully, be able to relate to the struggles that he went through. So I'll give you a perfect example. So we had opened up an AMC Downtown Disney, and after the movie was over, we had a really good standing ovation, right? Mm-hmm. And then when people were coming out, I had this family to come out, and it was the mother, and she comes out and she says. Are you the director of Walt Before Mickey? I said, yes. And then she goes, first I want to congratulate you. And then she started breaking down and crying and everything else. And I go, are you okay? Well, why are you crying? He says, well, you know, I mean, after watching this movie, I felt like I was with Walt Disney because I'm going through the same type of struggle. Our family don't have any jobs. We have lost our jobs. And now to see that Walt Disney had gone through something similar to that and not be able to give up on life itself gives me actually some hope. And she was really breaking down crying about that stuff. And just to see that unfold in front of my eyes made this like, well, it reminds me of why we actually made this movie.
Yeah. I got a question for you. Because this is about Walt Disney and Disney is so heavily licensed. I mean, did you have to like pay some kind of licensing fee to do this?
Yeah. Well, Amando, he's the executive producer. He had to get the permission from the Disney family, and it was Diane Disney at that time before she had passed away. And Timothy, he already went through going through all the licensing with the book. They were able to get the deal through there, and without having to go through Disney itself, all you needed was the family member.
Wow. Wow. And again, I want to remind our listeners that we are talking about the new film Walt Before Mickey. It's on DVD now, on iTunes, various video and on-demand platforms. And we're speaking with the director, Quale. I'm pronouncing that right now, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And it is a great film. And even if it wasn't about Walt Disney, it's still a great, you know, period piece in a way, and also just a movie about struggle. I mean, this could have been anyone. It just so happens that it's someone who's, you know, become so successful and he's responsible for, you know, we just talked about Good Dinosaur a few segments ago, and the latest from Disney Pixar. And, you know, what a wonderful film. I mean, I was watching this movie, and just right from the beginning, I was just kind of like swept up in this guy's story and, you know, how Walt was so optimistic. I mean, there's the scene near the beginning when he's in a barn. And, you know, he says, this is our office. This is where we're going to make our dreams come true, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And to note that it's that Walt Disney struggled through life trying to build what he built today, what we have today, what we know about him today. And it was a struggle, just as much of a struggle, making the film as if Walt Disney was in it to say, hey, you know, this is what you guys need to actually feel when making this movie, because this is what I actually went through for many years of my life. That's what I felt like.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think especially for the younger people, that Walt Disney, everybody sees Disney as the brand and so successful, ultra successful. There's, you know, Disney in Tokyo, there's Europe, there's everywhere, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, everything Disney is golden. It did not used to be that way. But he was still able to keep that positive, optimistic attitude even when everything was going against him. And then he just decides to sketch this little mouse and boom, you know, his whole life changes. And I think that's important. I am shocked. I'm still in shock from what you said. You had 13 days.
17 days.
Mm-hmm. Don't give him even less.
And you said two. And you said there were two different scripts. Did you film both, or did you?
No.
You chose?
It was choosing one and trying to condense it and trying to combine the ideas in the script.
And it was your directorial debut.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, bouncing off of you about him creating his empire. I mean, there's a, for anyone that doesn't have a passion or a longer term reason to why you want to go through all this type of life struggles to make something happen. I mean, I think it's you know, it's a simple reason for, in my opinion, it's simple for Walt Disney, and this is how I kind of thought about it throughout the whole film, was that he actually just wanted to create change in the world by creating happiness in the products that he would create, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just about Disney, it's not about the characters, not just, even though those were the start, but it was everything else that that could lead to this sense of happiness for kids and adults and these memories, right? He builds out Disneyland, Disney World, and he has this all these other little things. And so I believe that when we wear like a Disney hat or wear a Disney shirt, it's more than just wearing a Disney merchandise. It's a symbol of what we believe in, right? And it's a symbol of what we stand for in America too. And so I believe that was his main drive. And if you know, if he's going to have to spend all his life building that out, I think that's just worth it, in my opinion. So it wasn't, I don't think it was ever about, people think it was about money and doing all this type of stuff. I think it was just kind of like the Steve Jobs attitude. I just want to build beautiful product.
Yeah.
I just want to build change in this world, you know, for the good.
And I think that is really evident in the fact that way back when he built Disneyland, that he put little things that would happen that the regular person wouldn't necessarily see, to surprise people, to bring happiness, to do these things. And so much behind the scenes that most of us have never heard about. Now we're hearing about it in the Jubilee. But I just think that he had that eye for detail, even things that the normal person might not notice, which it sounds like you have done in this film. It's definitely a must-see for everyone on video on demand, everywhere you can find it, or on DVD, because you'll want to share it and rewatch it, because I'm sure there'll be things that you might not have seen the first time.
Yeah, and perfect for the holidays as well.
Absolutely.
And Tricia, you've read the book. You're going to probably even get more out of this movie. So director Quale, I want to thank you so much for helping us talk about Walt before Mickey. Thank you for making this movie as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
And congratulations. It was a great success.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
And please stay in touch. We'd love to, you know, to talk about your next project.
Will do. Absolutely. Thank you so much, guys.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Excellent. And yeah, so definitely go see Walt before Mickey.
Oh, I will check it out on DVD. I feel bad I didn't get a chance to see it before our interview with him because I was excited about that.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, what if you saw Mickey first rather than see Walt before Mickey?
I saw Mickey and then I saw Walt before Mickey.
It's called okay. the prequel. Have you ever heard about anybody, doing a prequel? I've heard of a few of those.
Steamboat Willie. Yep. Okay. On that note,
he sings, he whistles, he dances.
Now, every time I play this song, the next song we're going to play,
yeah.
Let me change it so I don't get yelled at by Mr. Eric.
He didn't yell. He just pointed out human error.
Right.
Human error. Human.
Every time I play this song, it's the Jughead.
Yes. The Jughead Santa hat you're wearing.
It's an elf. Elf.
That's a Jughead.
It looks like Jughead from here.
Every time well, the slippers on his glasses.
Does, I know. I've seen it all. It's very cute.
Every time I play this song at home, it starts with chestnuts, right? Because in my cat, you're next, thinks her name is Chestnuts for some reason. She hears chestnuts and she goes, wow.
Really?
She and thinks her name is Chestnuts. But this is played on Breakthrough Entertainment's Songs Made Scary by Horror Movies Christmas Edition because you'll know it. This is Nat King Cole singing the Christmas song from And All Through the House.
Who wrote it?
Remember And All Through the House from Tales from the Crypt?
Performing it.
Yes, that's the one who wrote Psycho Santa.
Yes, and this ties in.
From the original Tales from the Crypt.
I know who wrote it.
Yes, the original Tales from the Crypt.
Mel Torme, right?
Yes.
I think
yes.
Mel, and, yes. And I knew his daughters.
I worked with the daughter. Trisha, here's your chance with
Eric, how about that?
They know that.
Was her name Torme?
No.
Santa's
a stepdaughter.
On his way.
Oh,
come on,
oh my
Dave.
God!
Trisha does not
lots of toys and goodies on the way.
There we go. Come on, do it.
And every mother's child,
I don't know the words to the song,
is gonna spy
bum bum
to see if reindeer really know how to fly.
And so all right, this is Breakthrough Entertainment interviewing Joseph J for a musical debut.
We've got a great guest coming up next.
That's right.
As much as I love you, Joseph, Nat King Cole.
Oh, he does it better.
And Natalie.
He's coming to the Celebrity Theater, by the way, sad. I believe.
And Nat King Cole's coming to the Celebrity Theater? I think he's been dead for centuries.
You're talking about Natalie, probably.
Someone's coming. All right. And this is 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah.